Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul speaking said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And I think that you could write rightly over this verse these words, Paul's personal and powerful profession. Paul's speaking out loudly here. You see, he's taking this church to task because the Galatians had turned away from the gospel that Paul had preached to them. And not only had the Galatians turned away, but when Peter was come to Antioch, Paul reminds the Galatians that he had to withstand him to the face because he was to be blamed. He had turned away from the righteousness of the gospel. And Paul's like an Elijah standing here facing these Galatians and reminding them of the time when he faced Peter. And he's making this very personal and very powerful profession. Then if you boys want to know where I stand, here's where I stand. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And when I say it's Paul's personal profession, you can come to that conclusion quite easily by counting the I's in the verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So there are five capital I's. And then you can also count the times when he uses the word me. But Christ liveth in me, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, it's a very personal, but I want to point out more than that, that it's a very powerful profession. That's why I think you can write rightly over it, Paul's personal and powerful profession. You see, these Galatians and even Peter were getting away from the truth of the gospel. And Paul's just standing up and he's reminding them, I am crucified with Christ. Actually, he ends this letter to the Galatians with these words, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. You know, he's making this very powerful profession. He says, don't talk to me about going after other things. The cross finished that for me. I am crucified with Christ. And then he steadied himself, and he said, "Nevertheless, I live." You see, I think that we want to get the hold of what he's trying to say to these people. I have still my own personality. And while I was so thorough in the service of the devil, yes, there was a thoroughness about Paul even when he was a Pharisee. And all that thoroughness and all that fruitfulness and all that fearfulness, I brought all that to Christ. I'm the same person, you know. My personality is still here yet. And I think it's a thing we should get the hold of. He says, I want to make it absolutely clear that the cross finished the world for me. Finished me for the world too. Nevertheless, I have all the qualities of my personality. Then he steadied himself again. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. This personality, this thoroughness, this forcefulness, this fearfulness is now in the hands of Christ. It's not I, it's Christ that liveth in me. It's a very powerful profession, isn't it? As you can see how personal it is when you count the five I's and the three me's. And I think you're beginning to see how powerful it is. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, my personality is still here. Yet not I, I'm not using it. It's Christ that takes my thoroughness now and my forcefulness and my fearlessness. Then he comes out into the open. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I can tell you, friend, this is how you live. Dr. Barnhouse wrote a book on life by the Son. Life by faith in the Son of God. I think that's how you live, you know. You live by faith in the Son of God. But you know, when he had reached these heights, when he had punched it out, I am crucified with Christ. I'm finished with the world that you fellows are fiddling around with. Nevertheless, I have my own personality yet. Yet I don't use it. Christ takes it and lives in me. And the life that I now live at this moment, I live by faith in the Son of God. And when he had got right up there, he just couldn't stop himself. He cried, who loved me? And gave himself for me. And I just want to take those words out of the text this morning. Who loved me? And I want to talk to you about the love that Jesus had for me. That's what I want to talk about this morning. It's a very short text, isn't it? He's talking about the Son of God, and he says, who loved me? Because I want to say to you this morning that the love that Jesus had for me is a personal love. You know, I was thrilled when I first found out that God so loved the world. I can remember in my days of darkness, standing with no shoes on my feet and getting a grasp of this, that God so loved the world. I remember talking to myself and saying, well, could God love the whole wide world of mankind but you? Oh, no, you don't limit it like that, you know. If God loved the world, then He loved me. And that fills me. Great thing to just see that you're in the number. And then when I got along a little bit in the Christian life, I learned that Christ loved the church. And we're not talking about Baptists or Brethren or Presbyterians or Methodists now. We're talking about every believer, no matter where they are, even if they're Roman Catholics. Christ loved the church. And that fills me too. When you come to a text like this and you make it your own, the Son of God loved me. That's real, you know. I can take myself out of this whole crowd this morning and stand away in a corner and I can say, He loved me. Thrills me, you know. And I can tell you this morning, He loved me in spite of me. There wasn't anything in me to love that I know about. I was saying to them in the Bible class on Tuesday that if you go through this book from Genesis right through to Revelation and you mark every time the word man is there, you get the word thousand and thousands of times. Of course you would know that. But if you go through it a little bit more carefully, you'll get adjectives before the word man. And it's very nice to mark all the places where these adjectives are. Peter fell at Christ's feet one day and held onto his garments and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Oh Lord. Sinful man. Paul, writing in the letter to the Romans, chapter 7, said, "Oh wretched man that I am." When Peter and John were before the Sanhedrin being tried in Jerusalem, they were called unlearned and ignorant men. And I can go on with the adjectives, but I'll only waste time. But I just want to get this into perspective, that I am and I was a sinful man. If you search my old nature today, in me that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. I'm a sinful man. And I can tell you from an experience with the Lord over 40 years, I'm a wretched man. And if you don't know that, it's a pity of you. Because if Paul could say it, I don't think you should blush. There are times when I'm a wretched man. And of course I don't care whether you know it or not, it's true. I'm an unlearned and ignorant man. But I'll tell you this, in spite of my sin and wretchedness and unlearnedness, in spite of my ignorance, He loved me. I want you to get that. The love that Jesus had for me was a personal love. He loved me in spite of me. I think that's great. He just loved me. And I think that you can get this bit into it. The love that Jesus had for me, it was not only a personal love, it was a sacrificial love. He loved me and gave Himself for me. Because I'll be dealing with this evening. The mighty sacrifice. Sometimes I stand before the cross, you know, and I can see the darkness deepening. And the head that's crowned with thorns and the bones that are pulled out of joint. I can see the bare breast of the Savior heaving. And I know that he's going down into the depths where there was no standing, and that he's giving himself for me. Yes, the love that Jesus had for me, it's a personal love. It was a sacrificial love. When David talked to Jonathan, after Jonathan's death, David praised Jonathan, when he talked about Jonathan rather than to him. He said, "Jonathan, thy love to me was wonderful." And if I'm right in what I think that David was saying was this, you know, your love to me was wonderful because it was exceptional. You see, it was the king's son out of the palace who loved Jonathan as his own soul, who loved David as his own soul. Why, my friend, this was really exceptional, that the king's son should love with all his heart the shepherd boy. Surely I can take this language up when I remember that I was a drunkard, that I was an outcast of society, that I wandered in the fields and slept out for 3 years at night, and nobody in the world with any sense would look sideways at me, but God's Son loved me. The Son of God, loving an outcast of society. Surely I can say this morning, thy love to me was wonderful. It was exceptional. You see, the love that Jesus had for me, it was personal. It was sacrificial. It was exceptional. But I want to get this bit over, you know. It says in John's Gospel, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. You see, it was a continual love. Never changed. Because this book declares that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Therefore, his love never changed. There's a far better translation of that verse than that one, I think. It says in one of the old translations, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them all the way through. Of course, loving them on to the end and all the way through is the same thing. But I can see it clearly like this. You know, there was a week in the life of Thomas when he walked about in stubborn unbelief, kept out of the crowd, wouldn't have anything to do with them. For a whole week he said, I will not believe. Well, the Lord loved him right through the week of unbelief. There were moments when Peter lost his temper. A fellow said to me the other day, when a fellow loses his temper, is this something to do with demons? No. A whole lot of you ought to know that. No demons about you, but you do lose your temper. And he lost his temper, and he cursed the very name of Christ with oaths and curses. Says, I don't know the man. I wouldn't like to use the adjectives he used. I tell you this, the Lord loved him all the way through his denial. And there are times when all of us in this place, we have failed the Lord. We have come short. We have said things we shouldn't say. We have done things we shouldn't do. I'll tell you this, the Lord loved you the whole way through it. That's why you're here this morning. You see, his love to me, it's a personal love. It's a sacrificial love. It's an exceptional love. It's a continual love. He'll always love me. No matter what happens, he'll love me. This is really amazing, isn't it? I think I should get to this point before I go any further at all. The love that Jesus had for me was an eternal love. And I don't mean eternal by looking this way into eternity to come. That he loved me now for all eternity. I mean it this way. You can go as far back as you can go before the hills in order stood or time began. Away back there, he loved me. It amazes me. In fact, I can tell you this, sometimes it shakes me. But I'll tell you this, that this book says, but when Rebecca, you remember about Rebecca, don't you? Also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac. You know, there were twins born of that conception. Esau and Jacob. For the children being not yet born, now let's get that bit, they're not even born. Neither having done any good or evil. They're not born, Esau and Jacob, they're not born, they haven't done either good nor evil. But that the purpose of God according to election might stand. You know, God had elected Jacob. But that the purposes of God according to election might stand, not of works but of him that calleth, it was said unto her. Before they were born, it was said. The elder, that was Esau, he was born first, shall serve the younger. Oh, they were born at all before they had done good or evil. God had said the elder. And it said more, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Want you to get this. This was love, you know, before he was born. He was no good, he was like me. But God loved him before he was born. Because I know, you know, that the theologians who are always looking for problems, they can get plenty here. A fellow came to me once, he said, see this statement, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. That was before the children were born. I said, that's right. That was before that Jacob had either done good or evil, and Esau too, that's right. He said, do you agree there's a problem here? I said, yes, I agree there's a problem here. He said, I'm glad to hear you saying that, because some of these theologians won't agree with this problem. I said, there's a great problem. He says, yes, I can't understand how God hated Esau. I said, that's not my problem. My problem is how God loved Jacob. There is no problem with a holy God hating a sinful man. No problem. The problem is with a holy God loving a sinful man. There is no problem on the other side at all. I go away back into eternity and God loves me. It's amazing. For the world began. Before time began, before I began, God had elected and predestined that I, a poor worm of the dust from a back street, should become in the likeness of his Son for all eternity. It's what you call eternal love. And if God loved me back there and so purposed that I would be like his Son in eternity, would you like to meet me afterwards and tell me who is going to upset the purpose? Because I'll take you on, you know. Because I can tell you that whatever's going to upset the purpose is bigger than God. And I don't know anything bigger than God. Happens to be that I'm heading for eternity to come, to be in the likeness of God's Son for all eternity, because I'm loved with everlasting love. You see, the love that Jesus had for me, it was the personal love. He loved me. That just amazes me every time I say it. It was the sacrificial love He gave Himself for me. It's an exceptional love because it's God's Son from the ivory palaces above, loving a down and out from a back street. That's exceptional. It's continual love because He has loved me right through every time I have failed. It's eternal love because it began before the world began. He loved me. But I want to get this bit over to you. You know, it's not only personal and exceptional and sacrificial and continual and eternal. It's a triumphal love. This book says in the Song of Solomon, many waters cannot quench love. That's very thrilling, you know. No matter what these waters are, they cannot quench this love. Just yesterday afternoon I had a woman who's in the meeting now, and don't be afraid, I won't tell her. She came in to see me, she says. I don't know how to say it. Oh, I said, get it off your chest now. I've been round a lot of corners. She says, I give my husband a hell of a time. Go on, tell me the rest. She says, I get in the moods. The least wee thing puts me in the moods. I says, I'll tell you this, dear. Jesus will love you in spite of your moods. Because your many waters of moods won't quench His love. And your husband will have to learn to do the same, won't he? Because the Lord's love just triumphs over all our moods. And a lot of us have moods if we'd only confess them. Sat beside a man not so long ago, tears in his eyes. He says, you know, I've just been a fool, that's all. Oh, he'd done something he shouldn't do. Yes. I says, I want to love you, although you're a fool and you've played the fool. Yes, he does, you know. Your many waters of folly isn't quenching love. And we have moods, and we have fooled around, and we have failed, and your old nature breaks loose now and again. Ah, well, the many waters that you can bring up this morning, pray the Lord that cannot quench His love for you. It triumphs over all. Somehow, you know, when you know that the Lord loves you, in spite of all the things that you could write down, and some of us might have a catalogue of failures against us, somehow when you know that He loves you, in spite of all these things, it draws you closer. It's the love that Jesus had for me. It was personal. He loved me. It was sacrificial, He gave Himself for me. It was exceptional because it was the love of the King's Son for the shepherd boy. It's a continual love, it's eternal love, it's a triumphant love. You know, friend, I want to get this bit, and I've got to take time about this. It's an influential love. Because if I love Him at all this morning, I only love Him because. first loved me. You know, sometimes when you settle down and you try to examine the love that Jesus had for you, and you see all the sides of it, and you see every wheel, every spoke in the wheel turning at once, and all these things are true, somehow you say, Lord Jesus, I love you. And if I do, I only love him because he first loved me. But I wouldn't like to let the message go like that, you know. I know it was personal. And I know it was sacrificial. And I know it was exceptional and continual and eternal and triumphal and influential. But it's educational. Just got all these boys around them, just like that you're around him this morning. And he says, love one another as I have loved you. Oh, have we got that bit of it? Because we'll need to start and love one another. Even if a fella does fly off the handle. And even somebody has moods. And even if somebody has failed, we'll need to learn to love them, you know. Now that's the bit. It's all right looking at his love and licking it all over, you know. Need to love persons as persons. We need to love them until we're prepared to sacrifice for them. We need to love them in spite of them. Even when they fail according to our standards, we've got to love them. And this is what it's all about. His love comes out in all its grandeur and glory to our hearts, and we see it and we're thrilled. And then he says, go and love one another as I have loved you. There is no love like the love of Jesus. May we go down into this week and begin to love one another with Calvary love. And I'll tell you, you'll make everything brighter and better. God bless you.